the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth on this Catholic Radio Week. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey guys, good morning.
Hey, it's still Catholic Radio Week. I totally forgot about that. We're going to have a party before it's over.
Well, we got one day to do it.
That's right, got one day to do it.
All right, Dave, make the plans, and we'll be there.
I'll work on that right away. Hey, guys, our director of Operation Jeff Blackwell told me it's 69 degrees this morning in Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Is it?
69 degrees.
Yeah, not bad, huh?
That's I don't know. Do you know what it is in Bay St. Louis?
It's 81.
Woo-hoo. No, come on.
It is. That's what my watch says.
All right. Okay.
Says it's 81.
Well,
it's better than 97.
All I know is it feels great. It's a nice place.
It really is.
And
it
I'm sure you're going to be filling us in on what's to come.
I plan to do that.
And it's all good stuff.
But we always begin with a prayer.
Yes.
And this being the feast day of St. Joan of the Cross, we'll pray on her behalf in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Jesus, help me to recognize that you love me so deeply that you want to be an active participant in all domains of my life. Help me to include you in all that I do. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Joan of the Cross, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have a wonderful lineup for you today. 10 after the hour, we have some events in our listening area. We will give you details about all of the events we talk about on today's show. Can be found on our website calendar right now at ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Steve Ray joins us. He's a Catholic convert and pilgrimage leader, and he actually just returned from his trip to Poland, and he was telling me a little bit more about it yesterday when we were talking about the pre-show.
Yeah.
You guys, he has an incredible story, so definitely want to hear about it.
I
want
do.
Our listeners to know about it.
Yeah.
And he's also going to be talking about the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So looking forward to speaking to Steve today.
Mm-hmm.
In 35 minutes, Bear Wozniak joins us. He's a Catholic author, speaker, and world champion surfer and Hawaii native. And he's going to be giving us an update on the Maui fires. So looking forward to hearing from Bear and what they're experiencing over there. And in 48 minutes, Tom Costanza joins us. He's the president of the Louisiana Conference of Catholic Bishops, and he is going to be giving us a legislative update, and he has a lot of updates. So looking forward to hearing from Tom today and the work they're doing over there in Baton Rouge. So looking forward to a great show today, Damian, and I guess we already talked about the weather earlier today.
Oh, yeah,
but
we can just wrap it up and go to break.
There
no,
you go.
I'm kidding.
Bye, everybody.
It was a nice day yesterday. I told y'all it was going to feel like spring, and sure enough, it did. Today should be similar, but it's going to be a little bit warmer, but still the humidity will be drier, and that's what's making the big difference,
mm-hmm.
along with the northwesterly wind. And that's blowing at about 6 to 10 miles an hour. So those two together with a lower temperature makes for a nice day. No chance of rain still. Let's pray that we get some soon, though, folks. High 99 today, low 74. Sorry to say, beginning tomorrow through Sunday, back into the triple digits once again.
Mm-hmm.
103 is the high expected for tomorrow, as well as Saturday and Sunday. No rain expected until Sunday. We have a 20% chance of rain then. And winds will shift out of the south-southwest at about 10. So we may be getting some moisture from the Gulf, which if we pray hard enough, we may get our prayers answered.
I think we need to do that.
Temperatures in and around the area. Covington and Baton Rouge both reporting 70 degrees right now. New Orleans, it's 81. Gulfport, 76. And Houma, Thibodeau, it's 75. It's also 5 after.
A good Thursday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus answered, "I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. While he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?' Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart." When Jesus finished these words, he left Galilee and went to the district of Judea across the Jordan. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
In the parable of the unforgiving servant, the Greek word doulos is used. It can mean both servant or slave. Jesus identified his followers as sunduloi, which means fellow servants or fellow slaves. But the meaning is clear. Christians are called to radical service because in God's family, equality, love, and mercy must reign. To effectively communicate this concept, Jesus employed some of those beautiful words in the Christian vocabulary: forgiveness, entreaty, forbearance, compassion, mercy, heart, and brother. There is a hierarchy of compassion that characterizes the kingdom of heaven because it begins with a merciful and loving God. We will choke on the compassion we have received from God if we do not communicate it by being compassionate toward others. And so St. Paul instructed us, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." And then, "If anyone has complaint against another, forgive each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." The fifth petition in the Lord's Prayer brings home the reality that our very existence as humans implies a condition of always being in God's debt. We must always remember that Jesus took upon himself a debt he didn't owe because we who owed it were incapable of repaying it. So there is no injury or hurt or insult that we could ever suffer, however terrible, that remotely compares to the infinite debt we have been forgiven. And therefore Jesus compared the debt he forgives to 10,000 talents, which adds up to 2,739 years of wages, and compares to the meager debt we must forgive, 100 denarii, or about 3 months' wages. In forgiving, we participate in the very nature of God. Thus Jesus could say, "Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you. Rejoice and be glad." It is critical that the mercy of God that is descended on us must flow outward through us to others. Otherwise, the bile we accumulate in our heart is far more harmful than any injury that could ever be done to us. Self-inflicted wounds are always the worst. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Baby, and thank you, Father Chris. 12 after the hour on this Thursday morning. Hopefully it's starting out to be a good one for you. If not, well, pay attention to this. St. George Marriage Enrichment Ministry will be hosting another Supper and Substance. It's this Saturday in Baton Rouge, August 19th at 6:30 at the St. George Klein Peter Activity Center. The topic is Tending to the Soul of Marriage from a Second Marriage Perspective. Dinner and wine will be provided. The cost is only $60 a couple, and the meals will be catered by none other than Ruffino's Catering.
Oh, boy.
And there's even babysitting available. For more information, go to ccmedia.live.
I've been to a few of those. They're really nice. They're great. The combined parishes of St. Joan of Arc and Ascension of Our Lord in La Place are hosting a men's act retreat starting on August, so you gotta sign up, August 24th through August the 27th at the Lumen Christi Retreat Center in Schriever, Louisiana. It's a beautiful retreat center, too. The cost is $300 a person, and that includes transportation to and from the retreat center and meals and lodging, so it's a real good deal, plus it's acts as life-changing. I highly recommend it, but you better sign up now.
Yes. Well, a young women retreat entitled Come to the Water will be held on September 22nd through the 24th at the Shrine of Our Lady of Hope in Osaka, Mississippi. This retreat is for women 21 and older, and during the three-day event, you will hear talks from Father Josh Johnson, Father Jerry Daniel, Father Ruben Dykes, and Catholic speaker Casey Spreehy. The cost is $325 for the retreat. For more information, you can go to ccmedia.live.
All righty, and speaking of retreats, there's going to be a married couples retreat on September 16th and 17th, and it's going to be held at the St. Joseph Abbey's Retreat Center, sponsored by St. George Catholic Church in Baton Rouge. If you'd like more information, go to ccmedia.live. Also, the St. Jude Boosters Club Annual Golf Classic, always a big event. That's going to be held the 25th of September. It's a Monday at Santa Maria Golf Course, $600 for a foursome. And again, if you want more details, just go to our website.
And the temperature is going to be a lot more comfortable then, right?
I would think so.
Yeah. I mean, you're playing golf. It's not going to be in the hundreds. Damien says so.
Not in September. I can almost assure you of that. Okay, I can also assure you that we've got more coming your way on Wake Up. It's just beginning. Say Hey, Steve Ray is right around the corner. It's 15 after.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 17th. Today we celebrate St. Joan of the Cross. An encounter with a shabby old woman, others dismissed as insane, prompted Joan to dedicate her life to the poor. For someone with a reputation as a businesswoman, intent on monetary success, this was a significant conversion. Born in France in 1666, Joan worked in the family business, a small shop near a religious shrine, from an early age. After her parents' death, she took over the shop and quickly became known for her greediness and insensitivity. That was until she was touched by the strange woman who claimed she was on intimate terms with the deity. Joan, who had always been devout, even scrupulous, became a new person. She began caring for needy children. Then the poor, elderly, and sick came to her. Over time, she closed the family business so she could devote herself fully to good works and penance. She went on to found a religious congregation that came to be known as the Congregation of St. Anne of Providence. By the time of her death in 1736, Joan had founded 12 religious houses, plus numerous hospices and schools. Pope John Paul II canonized her in 1982. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
18 past the hour, you are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Damien Calata and Gabby Smith. And once again, we're joined with a good friend of Catholic Radio, Steve Ray, Catholic convert. He's an author. He is fresh back from a pilgrimage to Poland. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Good to talk with you again today.
Good to talk with you, too. And you know what? I've gone to your website. I love to look at your videos and get your comments on things. But wow, what a powerful, powerful pilgrimage you've been on. And I got to admit, Steve, I'm a little biased. One of my favorite spots were the first Catholic radio station there that was started by Maximilian Kolbe.
He was a pioneer of radio, and we were there at the Immaculata City.
Yeah.
I can't even say the word in Polish. The Polish language is very difficult.
A lot of consonants.
It's a lot of wishes. Yeah. Actually, there's some words that are like eight letters with only one vowel.
Right.
So, anyway, but the Immaculata City was quite... people were very impressed by it because that's where he started Catholic radio.
Yeah.
And he also had a printing ministry there. And, you know, one of the reasons why I think that Poland made it through the years of the Nazis mm-hmm. and the Soviet communism mm-hmm. is because of Maximilian Kolbe had used radio and these printing documents, and he had catechized the Polish people.
Wow.
They had learned so much that when the Soviets and the Nazis were there, they were able to keep the faith because they were well catechized. It's quite impressive to be there. We went with another radio station called Spirit Catholic Radio out of Nebraska.
Yes, great folks.
And Jim Carroll and mm-hmm. his wife. And it was quite interesting because we got to meet the current radio producer there. He took us over to their current radio station, and we got to sit in the chairs and everything. And it was quite nice because this is, you know, we're stepping back in history a little bit.
Yes, you were. Isn't that incredible? And the fact that you're absolutely right. What I read about that is he gave them hope during these horrific times. What a tool.
I'll make another comment about that. I also took a group to Germany in 2017. When it was the 500, the Lutherans were celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. I call it the Deformation, but they call it the Reformation. And so we went and we followed all the footprints of Martin Luther, and we argued with him along the way. You know, this was kind of an educational thing. And I remember the guide saying that Germany has become very atheistic, especially Eastern Germany, where Luther was mostly. Huh. And it's become very atheistic. And she blamed it on the communists. She said the reason that Eastern Germany has become so forgotten about God and become atheistic is because of the communists. And I said, no, ma'am, you're wrong. I took the microphone away from her, and I said to my group, I said, the reason that East Germany has become atheistic is because of Martin Luther.
Oh, wow.
And I said, and we have a saying in the United States, I told the guy, that says, united we stand, divided we fall. Mm-hmm. And Germany has fallen in many ways because of this. I said, now look at Poland. I'll give you an example. Poland, they stayed united to the Catholic faith. They did not fall into these schisms of Lutheranism and all these others.
Right.
They stayed faithful to the Catholic faith. And so when the Nazis were there and when the Soviet Union were there, they didn't collapse. They stayed strong because they were united.
My goodness.
And Luther brought divisions. So, and not only did they stand strong, but who brought the Iron Curtain down? It was the Catholics in Poland with the whole Solidarity Movement and John Paul II with a lot of help from Ronald Reagan.
Right.
And because of the Poles' unity and clinging to the Catholic faith, they were the ones that brought that Iron Curtain down.
Yes, indeed.
And they're today very Catholic, and it's a beautiful country to go to with wonderful churches, and the people are very Catholic.
And the more I learned about Poland, the more I realized what holy ground it is, because you mm-hmm. obviously toured where St. Faustina was, and then John Paul II, of course, that was his home, right?
Yeah, we had a great time following John Paul II. We know where he celebrated his first Mass. We went to his birth town. There's his school and his house and the church were all within 100 feet of each other. So this is where he grew up. But they turned his house into this magnificent museum now with the pictures and movies and everything. It was fantastic. And And we had a good time there. We ate the Pope's cake, too. You know, there was time where he had a competition.
Somebody, I heard that.
They ate 14 of them. So we had that for lunch, too.
Okay.
So following John Paul II, but then also Maria Faustina, we went to the Divine Mercy there, and we had Mass right in front of her bones and the relics there, and prayed the Divine Mercy. That was very moving. Gave everybody a half a day there just for the freedom to walk around, go in her, see her old cell where she lived and so on. But then the Maximilian Kolbe, we talked about him with the radio station.
Right.
But then towards the end of his life, he was taken to Auschwitz, and so was Edith Stein. And the funny thing was, we were there right in the middle of the feast day of Edith Stein and Maximilian Kolbe. We were right smack dab in the middle of that, of those two feast days, just a couple days apart.
Wow.
And so we got to venerate them, and we went down into the cell block 11 in Auschwitz, because people said, why are you taking us to Auschwitz? It's so depressing. I said, because it's prophetic.
Yeah.
You got to realize this was in my parents' lifetime that this happened. In Germany, the pinnacle of arts and sciences and music and so on, and they could, if they could spiral down into this kind of inhumanity to man and a whole different worldview, if they can do it, it can happen again.
Yes.
And we have to be careful, because in the United States, we have many people right now trying to bring that very same humanistic, godless view, communism, back into our country again.
Yeah.
I want you to see what the result of it is, what happens when you do that. So we went right down into the cell, at the cell where Maximilian Kolbe was put in the starvation chamber. So everybody felt like they were walking on holy ground there, and it was very sobering, but it was also very powerful for people to go there.
So his cell block 11, okay, I mean, there was, I know he was, there was a starvation cell, and then there was the cell where he was executed. Are they the same cell?
Well, there's discussion on that, whether there, some say that he was taken out. What happened was, for this amazing story of when you, they set up the concentration camps to be self-governing. They hardly had to have any soldiers there, because they would say, if one person escapes, then 10 of you are going to die, which
right.
then made all of them, you know, police themselves. And some escaped, and so they called everybody in, and 10 men were chosen to die because of that one escape. And Maximilian Kolbe stepped forward and said, this man is a father and a husband. I'll take his place.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, who are you, you Polish swine?
Yeah.
And he didn't say, I'm Maximilian Kolbe. He didn't say, I'm a believer in you. He said, I'm a Catholic priest.
Yeah.
And they totally shocked. They said, okay, you can go. So they put him in this cell block 11 for 2 weeks with other men, too. It wasn't just him. And they starved them to death. They starved him. But after 2 weeks, he was such a tough guy, he survived. So they gave him a shot of
carbolic acid.
Cobalt.
Yeah.
What is it?
Carbolic acid.
Right. That's it. Carbolic acid, which then finished him off. Some people say they did it in the cell. Some people said they took him somewhere else and did that. But I think they just did it in the cell. But anyway, to walk through Auschwitz and walk up and down those streets, and know, we walked right past the place where that would have happened, where he was chosen to. And
my
there was
goodness.
A lady on our trip. There was a. She told the story. She said when she was a young girl, her priest told her the story of how he had been a survivor of Auschwitz, and he was there one day when a man stepped forward to take the place of another man, and it was Maximilian Kolbe, but he didn't know his name, and he hadn't been canonized yet. So he told the story to his class, and this young girl was there. She said she never forgot it, of how they called him forward, and this man, this priest, saw Maximilian Kolbe chosen and taken away, but he didn't know his name yet because he wasn't famous yet. She said, but then when that all happened, the guy realized who it was. It was Maximilian Kolbe, and he was there.
And she put two and two together, or he did too,
yes.
for that matter. Oh, my
right.
goodness. And this
exactly,
person was on your tour? She was on your trip?
She was on
Steve.
She was on our pilgrimage.
Oh, that is
quite
a story. Amazing. So
yeah.
I know that has quite the impact. I mean, you know, and of course you went to the monastery where they had the Black Madonna. I mean, it's such holy ground over there in Poland. And I really do think from the blood of the martyrs razzes the church, and they have done a lot of suffering. And I think,
yep.
You know, I just think it's an amazing place. It must have been a heck of a trip. You know what we were supposed to talk about this morning, and I knew that wasn't going to happen because I was going to ask you about Poland. we were going to talk about the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Steve, we're going to have you back on because I really want to delve into that because there's a lot that needs explaining there, you know, about Mary's Immaculate Heart.
This is the month of the Immaculate Heart, and it follows the Sacred Heart. Why? Because the Immaculate Heart responds to the Sacred Heart. The Sacred Heart comes first, and then the Immaculate Heart is the response. It's like a great love affair. The Sacred Heart pours out His blood and His life for us, and then the Immaculate Heart responds back. So, we can talk about it another time.
Yeah, that would be great. Okay, Steve, where do they go to learn more about you and to check out your pilgrimages?
CatholicConvert.com.
CatholicConvert.com. Steve Ray, once again, thanks for joining us. I love visiting with you because there's a whole lot of content there, but we got a lot of ground to cover. So we're gonna call you back.
You.
So
all right. Okay, God bless you. Keep up the good work down there.
Thank you, Steve. All right, we're hitting the bottom of the hour. When we come back, Damian's gonna talk to Bear Wozniak. We're gonna get an update on what's been going on in Hawaii because that's where he lives, and so he's kind of close to where those fires are. So it is 1:30. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up.
It's 35 after the hour. Happy Thursday, everyone, and welcome back to Wake Up. Damian Collado, Gabby Smith, and Dave Dawson all here with you, along with our next guest, Bear Wozniak. He is a Catholic author, speaker. You've heard him here on Catholic Community Radio, as well as hosting EWTN's The Bear Wozniak Adventure Radio Show, which is on over 500 radio stations nearly across all 50 states and even on Sirius FM. And more importantly, he is here to chat with us this morning about what's going on in Maui and Lahaina in particular, those devastating wildfires. The latest reports indicate 106 people have died and a number are still unaccounted for. And Bear's going to try to give us an update to give us the latest of what's going on over there since he lives in nearby island Oahu. Good morning, Bear.
Aloha, Damian. You know, I'm sorry, my alarm clock got off. You know, your name's precious to us here in Oahu, St. Damian. They're on the island of Molokai, and Lahaina actually looks across the channel. Molokai is only about maybe 10 miles away or 15 miles away from Lahaina. And my dad was a Catholic deacon in Molokai and also in Lahaina. So that town of Lahaina is very dear to us. It's a precious town. All towns are precious, but this one had such historical meaning and to me, especially because of my dad serving as a deacon. Actually, he served as a deacon at that church. I don't know if you heard about the Catholic church.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Maria Lanakila?
Yeah, that's right. It means Mary, Our Lady of Victory. And it's amazing. There's the town, it just isn't there anymore. There's kind of like two things that are left standing. The church, Maria Lanakila, is still standing, and it doesn't seem to even be scorched. But there's ashes all around her, and you know, what's happened is so many people, just individuals, are helping. You know, it's different when you're on the islands. You know, you can't just drive in and help people. But we were down at the Waikiki Yacht Club last night, and people are getting in their boats and we're getting all kinds of food and clothing and slippers. In Hawaii we call our shoes slippers, you know, the flip-flops.
Okay.
And people, as they were running, their flip-flops just melted, you know, so we're sending them all kinds of things like that. So getting in boats, bringing things over to them, which is about an 85-mile trip from here by boat, and then bringing people back here to the islands who don't really have a place to call home right now. So it's been interesting. A friend of mine, Archie Kalepa, who's the head lifeguard there, or was the head lifeguard there, the innovator of jet ski rescues and things like that, just a really great guy. He uh, his home right there in Lahaina was spared, and it's become Operation Central for the local volunteers helping. I know the government, you know, is doing all it can too, but it's the local people that are doing so much. But
yeah.
That church to me is such a symbol of hope. I know, like when I was with Archbishop Wenske down in Key West riding motorcycles with him, we went to the Our Lady's Basilica down there, and he said that Our Lady had promised that there would never be another hurricane hit Key West if people remained devoted. And when about 6 weeks later, Hurricane Irma hit there, he wrote to me and said, not even the candles in the outside grotto were blown out in the midst of that hurricane. So I consider that it's a real, it's not a symbol of hope. It is hope. It's hope itself. You know, Christ, you know, and the church, that's real hope.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just a symbol. That is our only hope.
It's definitely a miraculous event, no matter how you look at it, in my opinion. And because the convent and the hall and the school were all burnt to ashes, yet the rectory and the church was able to stand unscathed. One thing, Bear, that some of the latest reports we're getting, I understand there's over 2,200 structures that are just been devastated, burnt to ashes in Lahaina, and at the same time, 13,000 people have been displaced, and it's not like it's a big island. If you've ever, I was fortunate enough to go there on my honeymoon to Maui, and we went to Lahaina for Mass on the Sunday we were there at church that you mentioned. And at the same time, you have some, it was a beautiful, I always called it paradise on earth. It is such a beautiful place.
Yeah, it is.
What is being done to help those being displaced? Because I heard there's about 160,000 people on the island of Maui, and over 25% have been evacuated.
I don't know. All the numbers that we're getting are kind of just conjecture. We have, when we were down at the yacht club, which is just a couple miles from where we are here in Waikiki, it's right next to the convention center also, and I heard that the convention center here is pretty much full, which is unbelievable to me.
Wow.
You know, people are, the Hawaiian Airlines here is getting, just flying extra flights, charging only $18 just to get people, in and out of there. So, but right now it's just really hard to tell. My son works for FEMA as a project manager. He'll be involved in when the city and county starts saying we need new bridges and things like that. But even he has to tell me what you know. He goes, I know what you know by reading the news. It's just really hard to get good information.
Oh, my
but it's
goodness.
It's he had a beautiful dream that the day after it happened. He woke up in the middle of the night with a really beautiful dream, and he just said he had a dream of the fire, and that there were families, and the families were, you know, this dream points to the fact that we have a heavenly Father, and that there's eternal realities of families in the midst of the fire, the souls praying, and then beautiful songs of praise to the Lord, and then one by one of the family members would go up to heaven.
Oh my, wow.
And so I could just, you know, you wonder at that moment when that tragedy happens and our bodies burn, our bodies are dead, but our souls are still there.
Damn.
And then there's that moment when we see maybe the other souls, and then some go to heaven, and who knows, you know,
Wow.
the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we just appreciate everybody's prayers, and Catholic Charities is heavily involved here, so if people want to make a donation, that would be the place to go, to Catholic Charities Hawaii, and help us in that way.
Yeah, we have that up on our screen for those who are watching and streaming with us this morning, CatholicCharitiesHawaii.org. Send your donations there for sure. Go to that website, and you know the dollars are going to go to help those in need. I understand, Bear, that the power is back on 80% of the island at this point, because the electrical system kind of went down altogether with the conjunction with the heavy winds from the hurricane that came passing through there, right?
Yeah, we're kind of famous for having our power go down here in Hawaii. But the hurricane, you know, was about maybe 400 miles south, or you know, it wasn't a direct hit,
right?
But the winds that it stirred up, there's a channel, there's you know, Mount Achaia and then the other mountain, and there's like a valley between where the trade wind, the winds blow through this channel between those two mountains, and it, so it has that Bernoulli effect of speeding up the winds, and it comes right down on Lahaina, and so once the wind started up, it was, you know, and what's sad is when the emergency alarm, you know, we have the emergency sirens blow the noon on the first I think Monday of every month, but they didn't blow to warn people about the wildfires.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things to be considered.
Well, dude,
find out what all went wrong.
Well, Bear Woznick, I know you have grown up in the Hawaiian Islands, and I know your love for them and passion for them. We thank you so much for taking time out, because it's early in the morning over there. We appreciate you being with us and sharing your insight and giving us the latest on what's going on in the Maui area, in Lahaina in particular.
The churches are gathering in prayer, and this weekend we begin our Duke Ocean Fest after my boyhood hero, Duke Anamoku. And it's the biggest reunion in the islands every year of all the watermen. Wow. And so there'll be a lot of prayers and people donating here too. So we appreciate everyone's prayers.
Thank you,
my brother.
We'll be praying. God bless you, Bear. All right, Wake Up continues in a moment.
It is 48 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with David Dawson and Damian Collado. Our next guest is Tom Costanza. Tom is the president of the Louisiana Conference of Catholic Bishops, and he has a huge update as they end their legislative session. Hey, Tom, good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, sure, Gabby. Thank you. Thank you again for inviting me to share a little bit about the session and things that happen, and some of the things that we did well, some things we got challenges in, like anything. So thank you.
Absolutely. Well, you know, with the overturn of Roe versus Wade a year later, we are reflecting back on that time. How was it for you with the legislative session following that, and an update on where we are today?
Sure. So, you know, we have a process with the bishops that we funnel all our discernment around scripture, the life of Christ, our Catholic social teaching. So we have the lens of the life and day of the human person from conception to natural death, you know, the focus on the family and the option for the poor and vulnerable, solidarity and restorative justice, the dignity of work and rights of workers, and care for God's creation. So it gives us a really good framework as we discern different legislation. So we made some progress post Roe v. Wade in terms of funding more of the maternal care centers and doing some more work with infant adoptions. So there was some good movement in there. Of course, we still have a lot of work to do in that area, but there was some intent by the legislature to try to recognize that now that it's been overturned, we have to help the moms after they have the child, mm-hmm. and during the pregnancy. So we have some more work to do, but we made some progress there. I think overall, I mean, we have a homeless problem in the state, a poverty problem in the state. We made some small strides in developing more focus on homelessness, putting into statute that every governor has to address this issue statewide. And we also were supportive of a resolution to look in the New Orleans area at these homeless encampments. So, you know, certainly that's a area for us. You know, you might have heard a lot of things on domestic violence. So we were able to help vulnerable women with reducing the time when if they want a protective order. We were successful in some legislation to reduce the time it takes to execute that to help protect them better.
That's great news. Tom, you know, and we can't ignore the fact that it seems like every time we're, you know, going through the streets of New Orleans, there's more and more camps being put up, more tents, more mattresses on the streets. You know, what to do is kind of a broad question.
Yeah.
What is the Louisiana Conference of Catholic Bishops doing maybe to help minimize that?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that point up. Representative Knox, who is from New Orleans, asked me to help him pass that legislation. So we just talked about firsthand knowledge. In fact, my Catholic parish, St. Alphonsus, weekly goes there and has a firsthand knowledge of what's going on. So we're convening. I met with Representative Knox about 3 weeks ago. He's convening the different departments. He has a convening of all the Department of Health, which is going to be important, the tourism industry, which the business is going to be important, social services. So we hope to come up in the next few months with some ideas to promote legislation for next session to deal with. And as you know, it is really a critical situation. Mm-hmm. And so we are trying to methodically look at this. It's very very comprehensive issue, but it's not just in Louisiana, not just in New Orleans as well. So we have about 3,000 people in the state in our last point in time study that are living without any homes. So you know, we do want to you know, really focus in on that issue as well. So thanks for bringing that up.
You know,
I think
go ahead.
No, I was just saying that you know, it all goes hand in hand. We do know, you know, I must say we are working on sort of related issue with the death penalty. You might have seen some things we're working on with the governor to try to help him discern, and he has discerned to put the cases back on the docket. And so we're praying that the pardon board will pardon these individuals. So you know, we're kind of in a situation now. Of course, you know, a lot of people are concerned with the violence. So we participated in a resolution to study gun violence best practices in the state. You know, we testified on the billions of dollars in human cost and societal cost this has. So some of it, like anything, you know, it takes a little while to get policy through. But I was, we were, I guess, fortunate to work with some of the legislators on some critical issues and to set some groundwork for next session as well.
Well, and one of the things that's on the minds of a lot of parents is school safety. What did the Louisiana Conference of Catholic Bishops have to say about this?
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you brought that up. In fact, I'm going, after this meeting with the school superintendent, the principals and the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And so there was a, the most important one was the state is funding a, establish a school safety act, which will allow schools, including non-public schools, to apply for safety measure funding. It could be, you know, if you have glass in front of your school to get rid of that glass. It could be hardening with security cameras. It could be security guards. So, you know, that was foremost on the minds of the legislature this session. We also are doing some things with around improving the notification. Suppose there's a threat at a school or at individuals, that we did some legislation to improve that whole process so that could go a lot smoother. You know, some other related things is having automatic defibrillators, like as you mentioned, that situation we had with the pro athlete who had a cardiac arrest. So, you know, there were several pieces of legislation, carpool safety legislation,
just all around this whole area.
We're running out of time. You guys we're busy and are continuing to be busy and doing great work. And I truly appreciate you joining us to give us an update. Where can they go to find out more information about what the Louisiana Conference of Catholic Bishops is up to?
Thank you. I have everything posted on www.laccb.org. If you hit that website, you'll have all the latest. I post things regularly about updates. So I appreciate that very much.
Thank you so much, Tom Costanza with the Louisiana Conference of Catholic Bishops. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Gabby. Okay.
Bye. All right. Lots of things.
It's an easy website. LACCB.
Yep.
Yes, and don't forget CatholicCharitiesHawaii.org if you want to help out with the Maui Relief Program. And we're going to pray in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Eternal Father, we offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.